The following program is brought to you in living color.
A clever man would put the poison into his own goblet because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Why is it people who can't take advice always insist on giving it?
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay, Grey Goose, Sauvignon Blanc, Syrah, guzzling diva. Anything I can get my hands on right now is what we're drinking. And you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask or didn't care enough to think about. That's what we're here for. Yes, you're listening to another lovely version of The Crush. And as it has been on the last two shows, I will warn my kind listeners about my frame of mind right now. I'm kind of a little over the edge. Y'all can just deal with it. It is December. December in the wine business is really not worth much of anything except for a level of insanity. I have made a promise to Kent that he would not have to edit the whole opening act, so I'm going to try and speak very slowly, very concisely, and not use any of the four-letter words that I am known for.
I'm just glad there's double-pane glass between us right now.
So. You're a very, very brave man. Yes, December, I have to ask an honest question. I get all the food and wine magazines. I take Good Housekeeping. I take Southern Living. And I see these great pictures and all these neat crafts and all these wonderful decorations. Where the hell do people find time to do this? And if they did, in their downtime, why are they not drinking and playing around with all these lights? I don't get it.
If they drink more, they definitely wouldn't have time to do this stuff.
Well, no, that's the whole point. It's just traumatizing for the rest of us. It puts undue stress. I know they complain a lot. They talk about Cosmo magazine and Glamour magazine. They should use larger scale lifestyle models so that the rest of us don't feel like we're overwhelmed.
Right.
I don't care about the models and the ads. They're paid to look like that. It's all the food, the decorations. It gets to me. The guilt overwhelms me.
So, you shouldn't let it do that, though. I mean, it's not for everybody.
Well, I've actually found a way. I made a Christmas tree out of wine bottles this year.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that worked out well. It was fun emptying them. My wreaths are now corks, and my mantelpiece is pretty much the lead capsules from wine bottles.
That's creative.
No, it was a necessity. I had a couple parties and hadn't had time to clean up, so I may do with what I could.
All right, that's what you do.
Okay, we're off and rolling on The Crush today, and I know we're supposed to be talking about December and holiday ideas and reflecting and what a lovely year it's been. Yeah, no, not so much. So if you want these wonderful little cutesy ideas, go to Good Housekeeping, go to Southern Living. Today, we're still talking about American culture. I had the best time last week talking about American culture and wine. Do Americans have a wine culture? And apparently, a lot of you enjoyed that as well. I've got some great comments we'll get into later in the show. But to help us along the line on American wine culture, I have two dynamic guests today. The first is Jack Lorenzo. He is the author of Continued Surveillance, Mostly True Stories of the Wine Business. He is also the kind guy that wrote The Tequila Lover's Guide to Mexico. Now, unfortunately, he is not in the studio today because I would definitely take advantage of his latter book. But he will join us and get in a little bit to the wine business and wine culture. We also have Steve Hymoff. He is a blogger. He goes on about wines, and he has a very down-to-earth view on how we should see wines, how we should perceive things. And basically, he has the same opinions I do, so of course, he's welcome on the show. So these two fine gentlemen are going to help us get off and rolling and continue on our conversation about American wine culture. But of course, the important thing is you. And I'm waiting, and I'm still waiting. I have seen a couple of good New Year's Eve toasts. I have not seen the outstanding aha one that made me laugh until I cry. So keep in mind, for you loyal listeners of The Wine Crush, we are definitely doing a contest. I want the best New Year's Eve toast you've ever heard, you can come up with, or you have created. Send it to Laura Lawson at winecrush.com, or you can email it to info@winecrush.com. I want to know what you're thinking, what you're celebrating, and exactly what you'll be tippling to on New Year's Eve. Now, usually this part is totally reserved for my two wine recommendations of the week. Well, my producer has been on me to try and make this more of a holiday theme show and try and help y'all out with your December. I have news for you. It's the second week of December. If you haven't done your shopping, if you haven't planned your parties, if you haven't sent your Christmas cards out, one, welcome to my boat. But secondly, it doesn't matter. It's too late for you now, so nothing I can do is going to help you out. What I can do, I am actually hosting a holiday party this weekend. I don't know why. I've lost my mind. I've just decided I like working 20 hours a day. But I thought this might be helpful to you. And I don't think all of you can pull over and write these down, but this will be on our website after I get through with it. I'm having a holiday drop-in party that will last for about 6 hours. And I know that the people who are coming to my party are heavy drinkers. And in light of that, I got 2 cases of wine. Now, in the 2 cases of wine, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit on the best value name brands that you can get for any party, any show, any event that you're going to be doing over the next 3 weeks. So for those of you who are ready, Gnarly Head Zinfandel, Tunnel of Elms, Cellar 8, Columbia Crest Merlot, Menage Red, Menage White, St. Francis Red, Kenwood Sauvignon Blanc, Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, Cristalino Sparkling, Montevigna White Zinfandel, Capisaldo Pinot Grigio, Clos de Bois Chardonnay, Big House Red, anything Sterling Vintners does, Pepperwood Pinot Noir, Jacobs Creek Shiraz, Bonfi Chenin, A by Acacia, Greg Norman Cab Merlot, and of course, for those of us who have to tolerate and clean up after all you people who are coming to my house, there will be a bottle of Farniente Chardonnay and Tattinger Rosé hidden in the back of the refrigerator. Now, I will slap your wrist for those of you who are listening that are coming to the party. Don't come near my fridge. You stay near the wine bin. But those are the 24 wines, the 24 brands I would recognize as the best value of this holiday season. Ultimately, I'm in the same boat you are. If I have to have a party and buy 2 cases of various wines, then I need something inexpensive. Unless all of you kind winemaker and wine people want to send me bottles of wine for us to enjoy, I too have to purchase them. So when I'm looking for good values, obviously I want to look for $12 and under. Every single one of these wines hits that category. What's also great about the name brands I mentioned, yes, I was specific on some varietals like the Columbia Crest Merlot, the Menage Red, the Menage White, but as a whole, each one of these wineries all the way across the board have great offerings. So once again, check this out on our website, winecrush.com. It will give you, the 24 reasons to enjoy the 12 days of Christmas. At least that's the way I like to look at it. Well, of course, we need to hear more from you. We ask you to call us 877-4-CRUSH-1 and drop us a call on the wine line. Or even if you don't feel creative enough to come up with a New Year's Eve toast, then please send us an email. Ask us your questions. LauraLawson@winecrush.com or info@winecrush.com. I do want your 2 cents worth. I want to know what you're thinking, especially as I now focus back on track on the concept of the American wine culture. And it's funny, last week we talked about the fact that American wine culture seemed to be a whole bunch of have and have nots, that there were people who were learning about wine, there were people who were already aficionados, and it seems like the twain shall never meet. Well, I have since picked up a number of magazines and talked to several of you and gotten some great emails and realized that the twain meet more often than probably all of us would like to. And I think, judging from your comments and the thinking that you have made me do, this may be one of the largest problems with the American wine culture, is there is such a distinctive gap between have and have-nots when it comes to wine knowledge that both of you find each other annoying. Those of you who know a lot about wine find the everyday I'm learning consumer annoying. And those of you who are just learning about wine really hate those standoffish people who tell you everything you never wanted to know. Now, of course, I don't fit in that category. I am here to educate. I am moral support. But it does bring to mind a really interesting proposition. So if the people who are trying to learn about wine were a little bit less eager, a little bit more, quiet in their question asking, and the people who knew a lot about wine would shut up and take a breath occasionally, maybe we wouldn't have a problem trying to find the middle ground. Give me your thoughts, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email me. I want to know if this is true or not. So looking at American culture, I did get some great, great comments from some of you. Some of them are very open-minded, and we'll talk about those in the third segment. But right now, here were 2 of my favorites. Now, this one was sent anonymously. Americans have no culture, so how can you expect them to have wine culture? I will say that this was said with a French accent. So at any point you want to bring your little baguette toasting little butt down here and tell me that we indeed don't have any culture, bring it, you little beret guy. I'd like for you to sit back and look at what we're doing. We are trying, we're making an effort, which is more than you are. So yes, we do have culture. You can't diss a whole society, but you can help us find a solution to the problem. Until you do, don't bother me anymore. The only other interesting one I got that seemed to be a little bit hostile was this one. Americans will never have a wine culture until they learn to dine, not to eat. The way Americans eat, you need to market your wine towards Big Macs and Whoppers. Now, actually, as much as I don't like how that's phrased, it does have a relevancy in the overall conversation. If you think about it, here in America, we are definitely into instant gratification. All you have to do is go and sit at a phone store trying to buy a new phone store for 35 minutes. You understand the power of the minute. You want it all now, and you want it delivered. I really do have a t-shirt with that on it. But in light of that, we are in a hurry. Whether we have our fast food that we can drive through and eat in our car, whether we have our Twitter where we can get instant messaging, whether we have our internet that automatically alerts us if we have an email, a phone mail, or a message, everything has to be right now. Part of a true wine culture means you have to learn to savor. And I want all of you to take a beat and think about it. When's the last time you truly savored something? I'm not talking about you sat back and tasted a glass of wine. I'm not talking about you scarfed down a whole bar of Ghirardelli chocolate. I'm not talking about the fact you sat down and had dinner at a nice restaurant. When's the last time you seriously savored it? And until we learn as a culture to savor our moments and to savor our times and our flavors, we're going to have a hard time finding a wine culture, because after all, it is about pace. I'm going to take a small break right now. When we get back, we're going to have some of our great guests join us and talk a little bit more about American culture.
Now that we sat nice, broke bread together, shared a glass of wine, I feel I know you a little.
It's dance time in Texas, and we're striking up the band.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and right now we are going to welcome Jake Lorenzo onto the show. Jake has written Continued Surveillance, Mostly True Stories of the Wine Business, and as Kent is giving such a wonderful entrance to, of course, he wrote The Tequila Lover's Guide to Mexico. So at this point, we'd like to invite Jake. Welcome to The Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I am outstanding. How are you today?
Very good.
I had the luxury of having your little bio in front of me, and it says, Jake Lorenzo writes with power, passion, and a wild sense of humor. Any subject is fair game, and Jake pulls no punches. Opinionated, controversial, and beloved by cellarettes everywhere for speaking the truth. How have you and I not met each other yet, darling?
Where do you live?
Wrong coast. Definitely wrong coast. Well, thank
yeah.
you for being part of the crush today. Give our listeners an idea of what you do, about your books, which I love, by the way. Absolutely love you. You're one that actually tells it like it is.
Well, I got started over 30 years ago writing these columns because the wine business had no sense of humor whatsoever at that time.
Still doesn't.
And it still doesn't. So I kind of took it upon myself to start writing these columns, talking about what I saw. I was a winemaker and have been for 33 years. The story about Jake goes like this. Jake always wanted to be a high society murder investigator, but here in Sonoma there's no high society. And there's never any murders. So he only made a living by doing crappy detective work for winery owners who thought their spouses were cheating on them. And once he'd get the evidence, they'd try to stiff him, and they wouldn't pay. So he'd take wine in payment, and that's how he became a wine expert.
By being stiff, wouldn't that lead to more murders in Sonoma?
You never know.
Okay. Just checking. It being December for me and having been in the wine business like you entirely too many years to count, I think December is a great time of year for baseball bats and small firearms.
So. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it doesn't hurt. And if you're drinking while you're armed, that makes you a very dangerous person.
That applies in a lot of areas where we cover, so just keep that in mind. Well, obviously, you have a great sense of humor and you have a great background when it comes to, one, writing about wine and being able to tell all. Something we've been discussing on the show up until this point is the American wine culture, or really the lack of an American wine culture. What have you encountered, and what are your opinions on this?
On wine culture?
On the fact that we don't have one. You look at look at France, you look at Spain, you look at Italy, and then you look at the Americans, and sometimes us picking wine is like garanimals picking out a matching outfit.
If you look at these other countries, France and Italy and Spain and places you've named, you have to remember that they have 200-300 more years of experience with wine than we do. So I think you just have to give us a chance and be patient. There's lots and lots of people who love wine, have it on the table, have it with food, enjoy it, but don't worship at the altar. And I think that's where we have to go.
Do you really see this all started because we got in a debate and I got caught in the middle of an interesting situation with a whole bunch of have and have nots. Have nots not really knowing about wine, haves knowing too much about wine for their own good. And so when you talk about people worshiping at the altar of wine, can that not lead to some really intense, almost detrimental situations in this business?
Absolutely. That right now, they seem to have the upper hand as far as public notice. But these things come and go. And I think in the future, for example, all these $100 and $200 Cabernets, they can't give the stuff away now. And prices are coming down. And we're in a cycle where it's going to change. And I think this will bring a lot of people into the wine business. So I'm very upbeat about all this. And I drink with regular people, many of whom make wine, but they're certainly not pushy about it or expert about it. They love wine.
No, my favorite winemaker is the one that always say it takes a lot of great beer to make good wine.
Yeah, you know, they credited that quote to me, but But it really came from the Kenwood crew in about 1977. The whole crew would crawl into a 5,000-gallon tank that was empty, and they'd drink Budweiser. And they get loaded and think of things, and that was one of the sayings they came up with there.
It definitely worked. I learned it from Steve Rude, so yeah. That does make sense. Well, of course, most importantly, because I do appreciate your sense of humor, and I love the fact you try and bring humor to the wine business, tell our listeners about your new book, where they can find it, and why they absolutely have to have it.
Well, Continued Surveillance is the third in a series where we have taken collection of the columns that I write for various wine magazine, and there's fictional characters that interact with real people. But I make up almost all the stuff myself. But it also goes into various aspects of wine. So as a winemaker and as a person who tries to see the humor in all these different things, Jake Lorenzo comments with this cast of characters and friends, some of whom are real and some of whom are fictional, on all the things that happen in the wine business. These columns cover from about 2004 to 2009. And so anything that happened in the wine business gets commented on, from Robert Mondavi's death to the economy and the election of Obama. And, it's all pretty funny, and the problem is, since I write for wine magazines, somehow, some way, whatever I'm writing about has to end up being about wine.
Well, I understand that. And invariably, because you write for wine magazines and make wine, you can't be as tongue-in-cheek as you'd like to be. Well, I'll get in trouble that way.
You know, they give me an incredible amount of latitude, and in the 5 years, there's only been one column that they rejected, and it was dealing with what to do if you're stopped for a DUI. they felt uncomfortable. Now, that is in the book.
Well, we'll have to buy the book just to check it out. Well, Jake, I am delighted that you have been on the show today. I am hoping at some point I can sweet talk you to the East Coast. You help me guest host one day. I think we'll have a lot of fun, and we'll wear Kent's hand out by the time he gets done editing us.
Yeah, it'd be great. Can we tell them how to get the book?
Absolutely.
They can go to my website at winepatrol.com, and that should give them information.
Easy enough, and of course for our listeners, we'll have that link on our website as well. Well,
and they can also email me at jake@winepatrol.com.
We can handle that. Well, Jake, thank you for taking time out of your busy December schedule. Be part of the Crush, and I promise we'll have you back soon.
Thank you, Laura. Have a good season.
You too.
Bye.
All right, we're going to take a small break right now, but more of the exciting Crush when we return.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and Earthshare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
It's warm, fuzzy Christmas music, Laura.
Is that what that is?
It's to put you in a better mood.
I'm Laura Lawson. You're listening to The Wine Crush, and I hope right now you're as confused as I am. Warm, fuzzy Christmas music. Let's throw out some Frosty, some Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'll even take some Band-Aid. What's that?
It's Good King Wenceslas.
I see, and you think that's going to calm me down and help
me? I thought it might help. I thought if we just calmed you down a little bit, you'd be... You know, Christmassy.
Yeah.
But it's not working.
I was about to say, where's that F8 button? All right. We all know what was coming there. Okay. It was really great talking with Jake Lorenzo. For those of you who like the sadistic, twisted, ugly side of the wine business and really have that sense of humor that I appreciate, please, please, please check out his books, Continued Surveillance. They will give you the upside of wine in the sense that you realize it's about farmers, it's about everyday people, and all the things that could go wrong and the stuff that we on the inside kind of like to make fun of. So keep that in mind for you haves who keep doing entirely too much. Well, talking about the wine culture again, because I can't live this alone, it's interesting with 2 of our articles today that I have come across. You know, keep in mind, American wine culture, we try and reflect what's going on in our own society. But ultimately, we're trying to create a demand. We're trying to create a palate for wine. It is stories like the one I'm about to refer to that really scare me when it comes to helping find a culture of wine. Coppola sues cork and bottle maker over not-so-fine wines. Francis Ford Coppola Presents filed suit in November in Napa County against cork and bottle manufacturer Vinacore USA, alleging that Vinacore ruined 55,000 cases of the company's wines. The wines are part of the Encyclopedia series, and they're unique-shaped bottles and different caps. They're supposed to guide everybody into various international type of wines. I like the thought. I like the idea. 55,000 cases. Even my math skills are not that great. That's over 6 million bottles of wine. I think after the first 200,000 bottles of wine, I would have noticed when I was bottling that there might be something wrong here. There might be a taint in the bottle. There might be something different. Surely somewhere along the line, people were testing these wines. So how all of a sudden 55,000 cases can be blamed on the bottling company? I have no idea. So this is actually indicative of our culture. When we start talking about wine and looking at wine, if we don't understand, if we find fault, if we find error, a lot of people just tend to point to somebody. In this case, Coppola's pointing at the bottle manufacturer. In a lot of other cases, oh, well, this wine's bad, it's because my wine store steered me wrong. Or I don't like this wine, it's because my friend recommended it. Or I went to a restaurant and I tried Cabernet once and it was just so bad, that waiter just steered me wrong. You have to take ownership before we can have a culture. And to take ownership in something means that you're invested enough to educate yourself, to learn a little bit. Hey, you're going to have to do a little independent work. Unless you want to spend the next 12 days downloading every wine crush that was ever created to give you insight into it, you're going to have to pick up a magazine, a book, or some kind of information and educate yourself a little bit. We can spoon feed you to a point, but ultimately, you need to have the passion and have the drive to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I want to learn about wine. It is my responsibility. We shouldn't have to teach you. You shouldn't have to be led along. Once again, we can lead a horse to water, but we can't drown them in Chardonnay. It's against the law. Having said that, yes, take responsibility. That goes out for you, Coppola, too. After 6 million or something bottles of wine, you think you'd realize there was a fault there. All right, believe it or not, the show is all about you, not about me, even though today is just going to be a glorious rant throughout the show. You do occasionally send me emails, and when you do, you have some pretty interesting questions. For those of you who have not taken the opportunity to do that, please do. Laura Lawson, LauraLawson, at winecrush.com. And, of course, you lawyers for the French and for Coppola out there, that is exactly how you spell it. Actually, it's KentBernthardt.
Oh, no. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here to help. All right, we have an email now from Caroline in Greenville. What is the best way to get a broken cork out of the bottle? Can I still serve the wine? This is actually the only relevant thing I'm going to do about December and parties right now. This is very, very frustrating, even for those of us who've been in the business a long time. Whether you pay $2 a bottle, $20 a bottle, $200 a bottle, it is annoying to be tasting that first little sip and get the cork stuck in it. So, Caroline, one of the best things you can do, retry the cork again. The best wine tool out there, I will tell y'all again, is called a waiter's tool. It is seven turns on the worm, which is what goes into the cork. It's Teflon coated, and it's a two-stepper, meaning it has a little hinge feature on it. If you have one of those, 9 out of 10 times, you can always get a broken cork out of the bottle. You turn the little screw on an angle, you screw it into the cork sideways, and then you pull very, very slowly up. Now, for those of you who have just spent $200 on that bottle of wine that you broke a cork, my heart really goes out to you. There is something in this business called an osso, and it's the one you see. It's a wine tool. It has two prongs. It doesn't have a corkscrew. It doesn't have a worm. It has nothing in the middle of it. For those of you who are just now playing around with some older Cabernets, some older Burgundy, some older Bordeaux, I sincerely invite you to invest in one of these tools. I recently had an issue with one of my friends who's been in the business for 10 years. After he literally went through 3 bottles of the same wine, I really could have slapped him upside the head. He finally went out, got an osso, and didn't have another problem with it. The catch with this is it slides between the cork and the bottle on both sides. So that way there's nothing going into the cork, there's no remnants in the bottle, and no chance of the cork breaking. So, Carolyn, yes, there is a way to get the cork out. And if all else fails, I promise you a screwdriver and a hammer do work. Take the screwdriver, put them on the broken cork, take the hammer, shove the cork in the bottle, and that's when you can still serve it. And here's how you serve these wines that have cork broken in them. Everyone will tell you it has to be fancy. Go get cheesecloth, go get this, go get that, so you can strain the wine. Most everybody out there has a coffee pot in their house. That means you probably have a coffee filter. When you have a broken cork, go get some kind of container. Ideally a decanter. If you don't have a decanter, use a pitcher. If you don't have a pitcher, use a mason jar. If you don't have a mason jar, use a big cooking pot. Don't care. Take that coffee filter. Put it in one hand. Take the bottle, put it in the other. Slowly pour the wine through that coffee filter. Now, for those of you who really have great kitchens, the ideal thing is to put the coffee filter in a tea strainer before you try and pour it through. It will definitely get all the cork. But yes, the wine is servable after you break a cork. Yes, you should serve it. And it's ideal that you do filter the remnants of the cork out. If it's going to be like my house on Sunday, to hell with it. Let them drink the cork. It gives them more protein. In my house, it'll give them something edible.
I was watching an old movie the other day, and they were the guy at the table was explaining to the waiter that the reason you pour a little bit of wine in the man's glass first is just in case there's a little bit of cork in it.
When you actually look at the Master Sommelier Guide on how you serve, the wine is always poured, and don't say man's. It is whoever ordered the bottle of wine. There you go. Male mentality, being sexist again.
No. He said man in the movie.
I swear to God, men today have the collective IQ of a damn 2x4.
All right.
Pass that. The reason, yes, you do pour a sip of wine into the person who's ordered the wine's glass is in case there's any cork. Ideally, the cork floats into that bottle. But with most of the wait staff I have seen and most of the dining experience I have, they pour so fast when they pour that first taste, that cork just floats all the way back to the bottom of the bottle, and usually it's the third person that gets it.
Oh.
So that it really does have structure and form in fine dining and fine service.
But it doesn't work.
It doesn't work if you don't pay attention. Okay. So hats off to all my Master Sommelier friends. Please spread the word. Teach them how to do this correctly. As you can tell, we're off and rolling today. All right, we have another email from... this one is from Karen, and this is from Karen in Delaware. My husband told me cognac was a wine, but I know it is a spirit. Who is correct? Well, Karen, I'd love to know the bet on this. This would be entertaining, because in essence, you are both correct. But ultimately, you have to go to a liquor store to buy cognac. It is finally, once it is fermented, it is then distilled. And once it's distilled, it does become a liquor. Actually, it becomes a cordial, but we're not going to get into that. So, yes, you are both correct. Cognac does start its life out as grapes, actually good grapes. I hope good grapes, and you're not buying from the bottom shelf. So you two evened out on that one. And as holidays come up, make sure he buys you a very good bottle to settle the debate. We're going to take a small break right here. And when we get back, we have Steve Heimoff joining us and telling us a little bit more about American culture.
Drink.
The Wine Crush.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Available at Walmart.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the debt helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Available at Walmart.
Mozartoasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and somehow my producer tells me that was Christmas music. Good luck with that. It sounds like a bad TV show. Well, right now, we have a great guest. We have Steve Hymoff. And when I'm talking about the American wine culture, this man can personify it. Because ultimately, he has a degree in educational technology. In 1980, he started teaching himself about wine, whether it was through reading books, collecting books, drinking, whatever it took to learn about wine. And now, of course, he has written for The Wine Spectator. He is with The Wine Enthusiast now, and he's author of three different books on the wine business. This, of course, is a man who can help me define the American wine culture. Steve, welcome to The Crush.
Hey, Laura. What's up?
How are you today?
I am good, but it's cold out here in California.
Cold? What is it, 60?
No, it was actually last night it was about 17 up in Sonoma County. And here in the Bay Area, it was about 32, which is pretty darn cold for us.
That is cold for y'all, but of course it brings to mind my favorite quote. The coldest winter I ever spent was summer in San Francisco.
Mark Twain, right?
Yes, my old buddy.
But you know, the grapevines love this kind of weather. It's not good for crops like strawberries and other type things that grow, but the grapevines love it because it sends them into dormancy. Which they like to do. They like to sleep for the long winter. And also the cold kills some of the winter bugs.
Those lucky things.
So actually the vintners and the growers are pretty happy about this, even though if the rest of us are bundling up and turning the heat on.
Well, they're all excited, and actually I'm jealous. If I could actually take a hibernation for the month of December, I think I'd want to be a grapevine at this point. So,
well, yeah, there you go.
All right.
Then you'd have to produce next summer, though.
I'm barely producing now. Ask anybody.
Right.
All right. Well, Steve, you definitely have the background. Between all the writing you've done, the fact that you are self-educated when it comes to wine, you have a handle on what it is that American wine culture is. Enlighten us. Oh. Tell us your view of it.
What American wine culture is. Well, it's growing. You know, it used to be non-existent. I mean, after Prohibition, the government killed the wine industry or the whole alcoholic beverage industry, and so when it was repealed 70 years ago or whatever it was, there was no wine culture, and it's taken that long to build it up. And I think what happened was the baby boomers, my generation, discovered wine or rediscovered it, and now you have, of course, a whole new generation of Generation X, Generation Y, the millennials. They're into wine.
The why nots.
Gigantic involvement and experimentation by young people with wine, and I think that's it's wonderful. You know, the baby boomers are handing off wine to the millennials, and it's in real good hands.
I think it is too. And I see the reason why I put you on the spot about that. Obviously, you started writing in the 80s. You started when wine was just slowly creeping into our consciousness as a country.
Yeah. And it was like an underground thing back then.
It was. You know, it was one of those things. The farmers knew about it, and the people who imported everything from France knew about it, but the rest
That's
of us
right.
were kind of in the dark. But
That's
see,
right.
you taught yourself. You were with The Spectator when it first really kicked into gear. Obviously, you're with The Enthusiast, one of my favorite magazines right now. And you have understood the transition into the multimedia and doing an intelligent wine blog, which my hat's off to you. There are so few
Thank
out
you.
There.
Yeah.
So how do we, as media people, how do we, as true wine aficionados, wine lovers, and we'd like to say at least moderately educated about wine, how do we help this burgeoning wine culture along? Are we hurting it by talking about all of the romanticism and all the formality of wine, or should we be educating them along these
yeah.
lines?
You know, that's a great question, and you mentioned the blogs, and I'm so glad I started blogging because it really, it sort of gave me a glimpse into a whole level of wine conversation that's happening in America and abroad also. And the question that you asked is really central to the conversation that's happening out there in the blogosphere, which is that where's the line between snobbery and elitism and getting, you know, really involved in the language of wine as opposed to keeping wine simple and not not making people be intimidated or afraid of it. And it's a great conversation because obviously there is no simple answer. I mean,
There's not. And it's something I've been in the business for, like I said, a lot of years. And this whole little diatribe I have been on for the last couple of weeks stemmed from the fact that I had some friends who did not want to come to a holiday drop-in because they couldn't figure out what wine to bring and they were scared they wouldn't know enough. And they literally gave up a holiday and a party where I serve just as much liquor as I do wine because they were intimidated. And that has just set my teeth on edge. And so I guess what I have been searching for lately, I have seen the answers in some of your opinions and, of course, some of your blogs and some of your books. And I was just curious if anyone else shared the same opinion I did or if I was missing something somewhere.
Well, you know, I think it's a paradox, isn't it? Because, you know, on the one hand, people like me want to tell consumers, don't be afraid of this stuff. I mean, if you want to pour some red wine with your white wine, do it. No, nobody cares. It's not wrong.
Hell, blend
it. If you want to put a little paper umbrella in your wine with a slice of orange, do it. No, you know, it's not wrong. On the other hand, you know, my job is to educate people about wine, both especially in my magazine, but, you know, to some extent in my blog. And I know a lot about wine because I've studied it for 30 years now. So I don't know exactly what the answer is, except that, you know, we all have our tasks in life, and mine has different hats. I mean, I have one voice on my blog, I have one voice in the magazine, and I have a third voice when I'm just out there talking to people one on one or giving a speech.
And a fourth voice once you've had four glasses of Chardonnay. And of course, then there's always my voice that everyone wants to shut down.
Fifth and a sixth and a seventh and at some point I better shut up when I've had. But, you know,
it's kind of a voice at that point.
And the nice thing is that, you know, America's a big enough country where people can plug in wherever they're comfortable.
Well,
if all they want is two-buck chuck, fine. God bless them. I mean, I think that's great, you know. But if they want to take it to another level and subscribe to a wine magazine and start reading eight blogs a day, that's fine, too.
I don't really
see it as an either or. It's kind of a
both. Hey, Steve, speaking of plugging in, because we're getting ready to wrap this up, where can our listeners plug in and read more about what you have to say?
Well, I blog 5 days a week at stevehimoff.com. That's STEVEHEIMOFF.com. And it's a great blog. It's really popular in the wine industry. And I get to talk in a voice that I can't in my magazine, so it's very fulfilling.
Yes, I enjoy blogging because I get to use the little words Ken won't let me. Well, Steve, thank you very much for being part of The Crush. I am looking forward to reading more about your blogs, and hopefully, who knows, maybe we can inspire you to do something about the American wine culture on your own.
Thanks, Laura. Nice to be here.
All right, Steve, you have a great holiday, and we will talk with you again.
Bye.
We're going to take a small break here on The Crush, and believe it or not, we're going to wrap this exciting show up after these few messages.
Laura Lawson's got more Wine Crush in just a moment.
She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood, concrete, brick walls, trees, small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. You have been listening to a version of The Crush, yet again all about the American wine culture. We were joined by two great guests, obviously Jack Lorenzo and Steve Heimoff, both exceptional people in their fields about writing about what we're drinking. And that's what it comes down to, is what we're drinking. And that's what I come across most when I hear from you. It comes down to the fact that you want to enjoy what you're drinking, but you want to understand it. That is the life and soul of the American wine culture, and trust me, we're going to be talking more about this. Just a reminder, drop your emails for the toast contest to Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. And other than that, I will expect to talk with you next week. Just remember, coming from the Crush, drink responsibly, sip socially, drink what you like, not what you're told, and most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.